Turn with me to the letter to the Hebrews in chapter 5. We stopped in verse 10 last time. We considered verses 1 to 10, but I want to start reading at verse 10. Through to the end of the chapter and consider verses 11 to 14 in particular. So Hebrews chapter 5, beginning to read at verse 10, called by God as high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek, and then our text, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full of age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Well, as we read in Deuteronomy chapter 8, we are to hear and to heed and to listen to every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. But as we have it here in verse 12, the oracles of God, which is given to us in the scriptures, but not all these oracles are simple to take in. Not all these words of God are easy to handle. There are some words of God that make us sing in our hearts. There are other words of God that are instruction and reveal our ignorance or remind us, if we already know them, how much at times we come short in practicing them. There are indeed other words of God that lay us open and bare before Him, with whom we have to do. We considered chapter 4 some weeks ago, and all of us are familiar with these words, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's sharp, it's piercing. And we come to such a section of the scriptures this morning. The easy thing and the wrong thing would be to skip over it. And so, the writer to the Hebrews so far, in chapter 5, has been speaking about the essential qualifications that are required for a high priest, and the superior qualifications, or even better, the perfections of Jesus Christ as the high priest, verse 10, according to the order of Melchizedek. But then suddenly, he has to stop, because he comes up against a hurdle or a difficulty as far as the church that he is writing to is concerned. And therefore he says, we have much to say, and these things are hard to explain, and that you have become dull of hearing. And this is a problem for all the churches of Jesus Christ from time to time. And it's a problem that we as individual Christians ought to face, or will face, and ought to face it in the light of the Word of God. And he begins to give the readers of his epistle, first and foremost, a very serious diagnosis of a drastic and tragic spiritual disorder. It's an abnormality. He tells them that it is not possible for him at this particular stage of the letter to explain these matters. Look at verse 11. We have much to say, but it's hard to explain. But it's hard to explain, not only because they are complex, but look, he gives us a reason. Since you have become dull of hearing. Their spiritual hearing is not so good. And this is a spiritual disorder and an abnormality that is serious. That is something that he stops to address the writer to the Hebrews. This is a problem that he feels he must address before he proceeds any further. And he sums it up in verse 11, saying that they are dull of hearing. But he not only says that they are dull of hearing, if you read the last part of verse 11, it says, since you have become dull of hearing. They have come to this particular state of spiritual hardness. Dullness can be translated hardness, hard of hearing, dull of hearing, spiritual sluggishness or spiritual lethargy, spiritual difficulty, and a lack of desire to deal with certain portions of the scriptures. And this is a problem that all of us face. If we read through the scriptures, and all of us must read through the scriptures, if we take the word of God seriously, and the command of the word of God seriously, every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, then there are certain portions we find difficult. And that requires certain disciplines and exercise. But the tragedy of it all is that they have become like this. In fact, the writer to the Hebrews is addressing them as spiritual babes. Look at verse 13. For he is a babe. And this particular section and this particular correction is addressed to those who have been Christians for a long time. It's understandable if children in the faith are children, or someone who's just come to the faith are children in their understanding, but these are people who have become like this and who have been Christians for a long time. They're not non-Christians. These are Christians. How do we know that? Well, look at verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers. Now that's not to say, the writer to the Hebrews has already told us that the priesthood and the prophecy, the prophets, are appointed. This is talking about those who have been Christians for a long time who should be able to teach their children or their grandchildren the basic tenets of the faith. Or younger Christians, the basic tenets of the faith. God willing, next time when we look at the first few verses in chapter 6, he lists the elementary tenets of the faith, which we can't deal with now. So these are people who ought to be mature enough to teach the basic tenets of the faith to a neighbor, to children or grandchildren, people in the workplace. As Peter tells us, that we should be able to give a reason for the hope that is within us. And doesn't mean that all of us can give reasons like the Apostle Paul did, or the writer to the Hebrews did, but all of us must be able to give, those of us who have been Christians for a long time, able to give a basic, fundamental summary of the principles of the Christian religion. But these people are not able to. Why? One, because they've become hard of hearing, dull of hearing. They're bored with spiritual things, with the scriptures. Now, all of us know of people who are in this particular situation. Not about spiritual immaturity, that too, but we know of people who are extremely intelligent. In fact, there is a syndrome like that. They can become physicians, but they have very little social skills. They're immature, they're like babes. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying. Instead of eating solid food in the scriptures, they can only drink milk of the scriptures. Those are the terminology that is used. When they should be teachers, they're still drinking milk. They don't want to do with parts of the scriptures. And as I say, we know of people who are extremely intelligent, but are babes when it comes to social interaction. They're terribly immature. Or there might be others who are extremely gifted, but are not emotionally mature. People who are very wealthy, but they're psychologically impaired. And it's a tragedy. Investment bankers tell us, if you read the papers, the stories relating to this, there are extremely wealthy people who are like children when it comes to handling the money that they have acquired. And so the writer to the Hebrews is painting a very drastic picture of someone who is an adult still drinking milk, cannot handle solid food. Someone who is an adult, but as verse 13 says, for he or she is a babe. And so this problem is a problem that is something that has existed in the church time. Listen to the words of Isaiah. 2,700 years ago, the prophet says this to his hearers in the church of the Old Testament. And he says this because Jehovah, his God, tells him to say it. Isaiah 6, 9 and 10. And he said, go and tell this people. Which people? The people of God. Keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of these people dull and their ears heavy. The Lord Jesus Christ, 700 years later, quotes exactly these words to his hearers. Matthew 13, 14 and 15. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive, for the hearts of these people have grown dull. And the writer to the Hebrews is stating the same problem to the church of his day. You have become dull of hearing. And it's spoken to long-standing Christians in verse 12a. Or to be teachers. And Christians who have become this way. And you remember when the Lord Jesus Christ speaks to the churches in his resurrection glory in Revelation 2 and 3. Speaks about the flocks. You think they are rich. And they are rich in other things. But they become lukewarm. And it all begins with lukewarmness to the word of God. You know, it's hard to live with a text like this for a week. And not to be convicted as a preacher. Or teacher. Because we can read the word of God and yet the heart be so hard. The heart is given over to dullness. We have settled into a status quo, and only certain kinds of doctrines thrill our souls. And only certain kind of preaching or preachers, like the carnal Corinthians. You remember the Corinthians? Some could only bear to hear Paul. Others could only bear to hear Cephas, Peter. Others could only hear Apollos. So style and personality and certain doctrines have governed their desire for the word of God. And so they've become dull of hearing. Of us, how many times we open the word of God and our hearts are dull? We've become dull of hearing. How many times we hear the word of God and our hearts are dull? And so he lays out the problem of the Hebrews to whom he is writing, people whom he loves. And this is the work of the Spirit. The Spirit of God is inspiring the writer to write to them so that they might understand their condition. Just like we've been told in Hebrews 4, 12 to 13, the Word of God is sharp and powerful and piercing. Or as James says, like a mirror showing us our condition. And then, secondly, the Holy Spirit pinpoints the cause of this terrible immaturity, terrible condition. He's writing here to the church as a whole. It's not the condition of one or two people. You is writing to them as a whole. Well, what is the cause? Well, earlier on, In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13, gives us one of the causes of spiritual hardness. It's a lack of exhorting one another and ourselves because of the deceitfulness of sin. Hebrews 3:13. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. All of us are familiar. When the Spirit of God is at work in the life of a believer, the person's speech, exhortations, often contain the need and the requirement of their spiritual souls. When the Spirit of God is at work in the church, people used to come out saying, "How have you fared under the word?" Exhorting one another daily. Not merely on the Lord's Day. Well, the church as it is, by and large, does not do this even on the Lord's Day. But this is daily, exhorting one another daily. Lest any of you be hardened by the deceitfulness. Sin is very deceitful. You see that in Genesis, of course, Genesis 3. Sin comes to us in attractive forms. We don't have to worry about the sins that we hate. It's the sins that are attractive, pleasant to the eyes, and desirable to consume. That's how sin was parlayed and brought by Satan to Eve and then to Adam. Sin also deceives. Just like it did in Genesis 3. It says if you just take it easy, the commandments of God, you will surely not die. As we read in Hebrews, in Deuteronomy chapter 8. If you obey all the words, if you disobey, you will surely perish. It's the same lie that we are prone to. And we are meant to exhort ourselves and one another. Because sin is a very deceitful thing. And carelessness and an unexamined life that slides along, and we're still drinking milk. And the heart is dull when we read the Word of God, when we hear the Word of God. And then, of course, when the Word of God stops to correct us, when we do not pray like the psalmist prayed, "Search me, O God, and know my heart," then we can be sure that we are sliding into this dullness of heart. We're not sensitive to the need of our spiritual condition. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me." Or as Paul says in Romans 7. Or as he tells us in Galatians 5 and 17. This constant struggle and battle. These are the causes of the dullness of the heart when it comes to the Word of God. But then here in verse 14 of our chapter in Hebrews, he gives us some other reasons. You notice what he says in Hebrews 5:14. "But solid food is for the mature," listen to this, "who because of practice have their senses trained." Practice. That's actually a very good translation. It's something that is done habitually. Have their senses, that is their spiritual ears, their spiritual hearts and their souls trained. Ever heard of an athlete who doesn't practice and who doesn't train? That's the problem here. They're not reading the Word of God in a disciplined manner. And they're not training in the things of God as they read it and hear it taught. Because of practice. Some of us are far too pseudo-spiritual. All of us at times are like this. We think that by some spiritual experience we want to enter into spiritual maturity. We think that just by the passage of time we are going to enter into spiritual experience. Or by some visions. Or we think we just snack on the Word of God according to our preferences, much like a child if it is left alone, simply eat what it prefers, that we will grow into spiritual maturity. See, but what is required, verse 14, is that we must train ourselves and practice. It's the ordinary matter of spiritual disciplines. We must read. We must pray. We must train to discern the good from the evil. The Lord Jesus Christ has a wonderful word for all difficult doctrines. And he comes to speak this immediately after John chapter 6, where many of those who believed in him said this is far too difficult and turned away from him. And then in John chapter 7 and verse 17, he gives us this principle. He says, if anyone wants to do his will, he shall know the doctrine. See, we must come to the scriptures with a desire to do his will. Not merely unpack the doctrine, but know the doctrine, hear the doctrines that are difficult, so that we might practice it. Every one of us who's been a Christian for a long time know what it is to deal with difficult doctrines. And we especially know what it is to deal with a hard heart. And beloved, what we need is practical spiritual training and discipline. Read the Word of God. Good authors. Good commentators. Whom the Spirit of God has so gifted over the centuries to be princes of the church, to aid us, to help us. And so this is a condition that all of us have to face, especially directed at those of us who've been believers for a long time. The Word of God is no longer become something that we long after as we did when we first came to know the Lord or when we grew at a certain stage. But then there is, as always in the scriptures, the Spirit of God gives us a remedy for this spiritual maturity. The remedy is the solid meat of the Word. There's the spiritual exercise of spending time, disciplined reading, praying according to the scriptures. But it all begins with wanting, not simply the milk,
and listen to our favorite passages of preachers, but to deal with the solid meat of the word, the solid food. F.R. Weber wrote a massive three-volume work on the effects of revival both in Britain and in America. And one of the things he tells us that he noted that after the awakening and the revivals, both here and in the United States, men and women learned shorthand so that they could take notes. This practice, I think, was first, according to Weber, evident in Scotland. Now, we have to be careful with these things. Not all of us can take notes and pay attention. But the point is, all of us have to work when we read. We have to follow the text carefully. We have to remember the text and the exposition of it. We have to work at it. Richard Baxter, the great Puritan, says this. In directions, this is his subject, directions for profitably reading and hearing the word of God preached. And he gives advice to all Christians. This is what he says. Make it your work with diligence to apply the word as you hear it. Cast not all upon the minister, as those that will go no further than they are carried by force. You have work to do as well as the preacher. And should all the time be as busy as he, you must open your mouths and digest it, for another cannot digest it for you. Therefore, be all the while at work and abhor the idle heart in hearing as well as the idle minister. The minister who gives you pablum. The same one reading the scriptures. We all have furniture at home. We need spiritual and intellectual furniture to help, to be trained. Even the Apostle Paul tells us toward the end of his life, send me the scrolls and the parchments and the scriptures. The wonderful authors, great spiritual heritage. We must have them. Many of them are quite simple, or simply put. And as we mature, we will go on to more solid teachers of the Word of God. Great authors. Are we reading these things? Sinclair Ferguson, Joel Beakey, R.C. Sproul, some of the great, and many more, men of our times who are princes in the church. So, people of God, all things are sanctified by the word of God and for prayer. And there are times we'll go through hardness because God tests us to see how faithful we are. Like in the desert. Sometimes it's just manna and water. But there's no excuse for giving up the word of God, which is to us life and food and eternal nourishment. Apply specifically, as I say, to older Christians. And 10 years ago, one of the well-known but retired minister from the States came to the Banner of Truth. This is a conference for ministers. And for the entire keynote sessions, he addressed the matter of the reading of the scriptures and prayer for ministers. And he said, if you're going to ask me that I've come all this way, flown across the sea, to tell you that what you should do in your ministry is to read the scriptures and pray, he said, exactly right. Because that's exactly what the Lord Jesus said. It's exactly what Isaiah the prophet says. It's exactly what the writer to the Hebrews says. That's what the Apostle Paul says. The Lord Jesus Christ even warns us. Pay attention to what you hear. Mark 4:24. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And still more will be added to you. For if you do not hear, whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. You see what has happened to the Hebrew Christians here? We have much to say. And later on, as he comes to chapter 7, he will say more. But at this time, he wants to address their spiritual problem. We have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. To be a believer and to be stunted in our spiritual growth, in our hunger for the things of God, in our exhortation of our own selves and of others, is like a man who is still drinking milk. It's like a man or a grown woman physically who's still a babe. And we all know the danger of it, whether we be ministers or whoever who's been a Christian for a long time. We know what it is to possess dullness of hearing. Where may the Lord speak to us? And may we ask the Lord to help us in our spiritual training. Day-to-day disciplines of reading and prayer, seeking the Lord. And then what we have will be multiplied to us. May the Lord increase our hunger and our appetite for the Word of God, so that we might not be disobedient to the heavenly word. Amen.